from St. Louis Public Radio. This is Politically Speaking. Hi, everybody. This is Jason Rosenbaum, a politics correspondent with St. Louis Public Radio. Sunday will mark 6 months since a tornado devastated parts of St. Louis and St. Louis County. The storm decimated a large portion of North St. Louis, a part of the city that had already been struggling for decades with disinvestment and crime. Officials believe that the storm reaped roughly $2 billion worth of damage, so nobody expects the rebuilding process to be quick or easy. But elected officials and social services advocates are gravely concerned about where storm victims will go as winter approaches. Earlier this week, I had a chance to speak with St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer at her office in City Hall about where the city stands in its long road to recovery. We also discussed difficulties in getting funds to affected residents and whether regional cooperation could help strengthen emergency preparedness in the future. Here's my conversation with St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer. So, Madam Mayor, when you speak to people who had their homes destroyed or heavily damaged by the tornado, let's just say in the last couple of weeks or so, what did they tell you about how the governmental response has been?
Boy, it really runs the gamut, Jason. We were on Tuesday giving out food at a food, for veterans. And so many folks came through the line that identified themselves as folks who had been, their homes had been destroyed by the tornado. And the responses varied. People expressed a heartbreaking sense of devastation, personal devastation. But there was also so much gratitude for what the city has been able to do. There was a recognition that there's still so much left to be done. There was disappointment, there is fear, there's heartbreak. I mean, the span of emotions that people express is indescribable. I mean, there's every emotion under the sun. And I think, as to be expected, we had such an unexpected, massive sense of devastation hit our city. And we are still processing it as a community, as are the individuals who have been impacted by it most.
St. Louis Public Radio reporters recently spoke with a number of tornado victims. And I think that the common thing they want to know is what is slowing down the distribution of tornado-related funds. I want you to speak to this. I understand it takes time for money to go from government to individuals, but I think that these people want specific reasons why the money flow has not been quicker.
Yeah, I mean, that has been a really, really big challenge on our end. Right off the bat, I think one of our key focus areas was partnering and getting FEMA support, recognizing just that's the large sense of money that we needed to come into our community. And there has been, first I'll say, there is a huge gap in what residents need and what we've been able to provide. That is unequivocal, just an enormous, a gulf of need that we have been unable to meet at this time. But at the same time, there have been quite a few things that we have been able to do. The city has already spent over $30 million in just direct services. We have secured individual assistance from FEMA of over $50 million that have gone directly to residents, not nearly enough to make their lives whole, their homes whole, and that is certainly true.
Because you said the damage could be as much as $2 billion.
Absolutely. I mean, and that is just an estimate. That is just what we're estimating the damage to be done that has been done. To get the debris and demolition work completed, the estimates on just that work product alone have spanned $200 million to upwards of $750 million. And so we're still trying to wrap our heads and our figures around what the damage actually costs. Part of the issue has been, the city's emergency response command unit was 5 employees deep when the tornado struck. And so we have been building out the apparatus within city government to actually run the response as we are responding. And that has been an enormous challenge. You know, we are using taxpayer dollars in large part to fund the effort that the city is able to come to the table with. And there are processes and there's a, you know, clear sense that there's a responsibility to do that in legal terms, legal ways, and ways that unfortunately take time to get out the door.
For example, I could imagine, like, if somebody applies for money, you have to make sure that they actually were affected by the storm, because I would imagine people are not just going to, you know, lie willy-nilly that they want money that they're not entitled to, but I would imagine that verifying that they actually are entitled to certain money takes time. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. But some of the other big projects, you know, debris removal, for example, we had contracts in place with Spiritus, for example, to remove large amounts of debris, and those didn't work out the way we had originally intended them to.
Why not?
There was a scope change, a failure to really understand the full scope, I think, on the part of the contractor. I think there was an earnestness on their part to want to fulfill the needs, and there was a disconnect there. There's also, just the contracting piece is so arduous. I mean, we have, in order to spend dollars, have to go through the Board of Aldermen, the Board of V&A, have to go through procurement. We have emergency orders in place that have allowed us to fast track a lot of this. But we've also got to make sure that, for example, we have programs to repair people's homes. And when we have contractors going out there to either remove debris or do work to stabilize homes, we want to make sure that those contractors are qualified and can do the work. There's a whole host of things that go into building up these programs that unfortunately have taken quite a bit of time to get going.
I want to get a sense, like, of where the RAMS money is right now, because my understanding is the interest from the RAMS money, about $30 million, was allocated for the tornado. And please correct me if I'm wrong with the numbers. I think that there was concern from the Board of Aldermen that there's money that's been allotted, but only about $4 or $5 million has been spent. First of all, like, I want to make sure those numbers are accurate before I ask the next question. Like, how much of that money has been spent at this point in time?
Of the RAMS funds, well, we have two real tranches of RAMS interest funds. The first tranche, board bill, I think it was 21, allocated $30 million. We now have, we expect to pass another set of bills, 93 and 94, tomorrow at the board. They went through the Board of V&A just yesterday to allocate an additional $3.4 million of RAMS settlement funds and another $9 million in budgetary surplus from last year's fiscal budget. So a total of $13 million specifically allocated for winter planning and winter services. But of the $30 million, we've got, you're right around the $5 million that's actually gone out, but we've got $24 million that have been contracted already. And so we look to get those right out, you know, as quickly as possible. Some of the disconnect between the contract and spent is getting the invoices from the contractors and getting those back through the comptroller's office, but we have contracts in place for $24 million of the RAMS, that $30 million from the very beginning.
Is there anything that the Board of Estimate and Apportionment can do to expedite? You mentioned some of these processes taking a long time. I'm mentioning the Board of Estimate and Apportionment, which is the mayor, the comptroller, and the Board of Aldermen, because if people don't understand the city of St. Louis, you don't have unilateral power over the city's finances. Is there anything that the Board of V&A could do to expedite a lot of these bottlenecks?
You're right, Jason. It is unusual, the city's sort of makeup, the structure, and that the mayor doesn't have unilateral budgetary decision-making power, and it does go through the Board of V&A. The Board of V&A has been very, very workable and proactive in setting up special E&A meetings just to hear tornado related issues. We had another one of those just yesterday, and we are committed to doing those every 2 weeks to expedite these expenditures. So the Board of V&A, I will say, is committed to doing everything that we can to expedite what we need to do to get the dollars out the door. Part of it is really just standing up those programs. You mentioned making sure that the folks applying for these, that we're not giving money away to folks who were not truly impacted. And that's important because at the end of the day, our funding is finite and we want to make sure that it goes to the families that need it most. And so setting up those programs, developing partnership is something we're handling as quickly as possible, but as thoughtfully and as carefully as possible as well.
I've watched a couple of meetings about the future of the tornado recovery, and there are some residents that just want the entirety of the RAMS money to go towards rebuilding North St. Louis and strengthening North St. Louis. Now, it's easy to memory hole that like 9-10 months ago, that was not really what anybody in that discussion wanted. They wanted a lot to go to North St. Louis, but also a lot of money to go downtown and even into things like childcare. And I'm sure that like other people that want that money probably don't want it spent in one place. But what do you say to the people of North City who see that tranche of money and say, we've been neglected, disrespected, and sometimes purposely disinvested for the last 50 years.
50 years or more.
50 years or more, and that's where the money should go.
I mean, what I first have acknowledged that that perspective is rooted in truth and reality, and the lived experience and the real experience of St. Louis, of our city. So, and I will also say that those that perspective is rooted in a fair desire to rebuild the area that impacted by the tornado that, as you pointed out, has been disinvested of. So there's a true need there that far exceeds even what the RAMS settlement funds could provide. That being said, you know, and before the tornado, I was pretty clear in my intentions of having those funds be distributed in a way that can reinvest in North St. Louis. And I still stand behind that. I think it's important that as we move through reinvesting in the area impacted by the tornado, that that plan is driven by those impacted. And so, you know, our plan, my plan for, or my hope for the RAMS settlement funds is that we shift more funds into investing in North St. Louis while being mindful of the broader city's needs, the infrastructure, the water, the streets, and other things that we have to invest in citywide, and recognizing that the future of our city does depend on having a robust downtown that can be the economic driver that really subsidizes the rest of the city, and that is in bad need of investment as well. So I think taking a balanced approach here is the key that that's going to provide the brightest future for the city as a whole.
I want to shift to the winter because I think obviously if your home was destroyed or heavily damaged by the tornado, how you've reacted since then is probably dependent on your individual situation. So for instance, if your house was damaged but is repairable, you may still be in it. If you're house was damaged and unlivable, you might have moved somewhere else. But there are a lot of people who have been sleeping in tents or been sleeping in damaged property that they own. What is the city going to do to accommodate people so that they have a safe place to live as the temperature gets colder?
Well, to be clear, my top priority right now is winter planning. You know, that is my top priority and the top priority of everybody in the mayor's office right now. And we recognize, as you pointed out, that there are folks that are not homeless, that for all intents and purpose, when temperatures get below freezing, are gonna be in exceptionally vulnerable situation and dangerous. So we are focused on providing shelter for everybody who needs it this winter. And I'm enormously grateful to the work that we stood up a winter planning task force that is being led by myself, Julian Nix, and several members of the provider community and advocacy community outside of city government. We've been meeting for several weeks now, and we unfortunately or fortunately had a dry run just earlier this week when temperatures got below 30, both Sunday and Monday night. So I'll say what we're doing is twofold, really making sure that we have enough shelter space for the traditionally unhoused population, which we're estimating right now to be around 600 folks. And we are expanding the beds available to include folks that have been impacted by the tornado. We're also simultaneously working to ensure that we have a rental assistance program that can put families and vulnerable folks that were impacted by the tornado in apartments when possible to get through the winter, to make sure that when possible, we're avoiding putting families in congregate shelter if we can.
So I think there might be people listening who may be like, why are people staying in damaged homes, or why are they in their tents? And I'm gonna put myself in their shoes for a minute. That's their property. Mm-hmm. Just because it was damaged by the tornado does not mean they gave up their home or their property. And I think that there could be, in some situations, real concerns if they leave that property. Things are going to get stolen in terms of possessions. Our building material is going to get stolen. Mm-hmm. And that may make them, even when it gets cold, really hesitant to leave. Mm-hmm. So with the caveat, you no longer directly control the St. Louis Police Department, but you are on the board of the new police board. What is the city going to do to make sure that that property that those people own is going to be protected if they go into shelter or temporary apartments?
Well, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, if my home were badly damaged, I would absolutely stay in my home. It's my home. For many folks, like myself, your home is our biggest asset. I think it's absolutely reasonable, expected that folks would stay in their homes. And frankly, if you are missing a roof or having a missing window still, as many people still are, this is a, albeit uncomfortable, but a livable situation, even in St. Louis summers. Certainly this fall has been pretty nice weather. But this becomes, as you pointed out, extremely dangerous when temperatures get very low. So we do expect that many, many folks that have been staying, sheltering, living in their own homes will be unable to do so when temperatures get very low. So your question, though, when folks are forced out of their buildings, what is the city, the police department, going to do to make sure that the community is safe? You know, immediately following the tornado, our police department did a truly phenomenal job of ensuring that the community was safe of looting. We did have some limited reports of looting, but by and large, the St. Louis Police Department did an absolutely phenomenal job of doing that. And we're going to lean into our partnership there to ensure that we're addressing concerns this winter as well.
I want to move on to FEMA, because I think both of us recognized, or not just both of us, every policymaker from federal on down to local recognized FEMA's assistance was critical for the recovery. But I've talked with pretty much everybody across the spectrum, from like the farthest left to the farthest right, and nobody is really satisfied with how FEMA has responded to this tornado. I'm wondering if you're in that category of people who have not particularly been happy with the federal response.
Well, in the hours following the tornado, we fully expected that FEMA would show up and run the response, much like they did in Joplin or following other major disasters across the United States. That did not happen here. It took several weeks to get FEMA engaged, to get the declaration. And that was the direct result of a partnership with our governor and our federal delegation. I have to say, you know, it's both and at the same time, because I have been frustrated. We have all been frustrated and disappointed with the FEMA's failure to drive the response, providing housing, providing food, the logistical nightmare that was immediately apparent in the hours, certainly days and weeks following the tornado, that we were building as we went. That being said, the folks on the ground, when FEMA did show up, I'm thinking of Willie Nunn and his team, were absolutely phenomenal. Hands-on, truly cared and were partners with us. So what limited resources FEMA was able to provide us, they were truly phenomenal. That being said, you know, I think the key here for our country is we need to be really, really seriously thinking and asking ourselves, what do we want from our federal government and what do we want to expect from our local jurisdictions? Do we want a nation where every city is prepared and has the tools and the readiness to respond to a tornado, an earthquake, or other massive disaster that may or may not strike? Or do we want to centralize that response unit in a federally funded and functioning and responsive FEMA? My argument would be that as a nation, we would be better off, more efficient, and certainly more effective if we centralize and share the resources and expertise across the nation for very unusual events, rather than saddling every single municipal government to being able to respond to what may or may not happen in the lifetime of each of those cities. So, you know, for our city to have to build the apparatus to respond to the tornado in real time has been an enormous lift. And it's resulted in, as you pointed out, disappointment, fear, frustration, heartbreak, throughout our community as we're trying to stand up programs, building out apparatuses to distribute funds as we go. This, in my view, should be centralized, and we as a country should be thinking about, do we want to leave bare all of our cities and have them fend for themselves? And that's a question we need to ask ourselves as a nation.
I think I want to go in two directions about the problems. Is one of the problems that FEMA just cannot provide enough individualized money to fill whatever hole financially somebody has with damage? So for instance, if somebody in North St. Louis has a home that's insured for $100,000 mm-hmm. and it costs $400,000 to rebuild it, $44,000 is not enough, basically. Is that one of the problems that you're seeing?
Well, that's one of the problems, and that would be on the individual assistance side of FEMA. And that part is activated here, and we're grateful for it. I mean, the individual assistance has provided over $50 million direct to St. Louis residents as the result of the tornado. But you, as you point out, it's not nearly enough to fill that gap. On the other side of things, the simple response unit, responding immediately, setting up emergency shelter in the days following, organizing and ensuring that residents have access to food. This is no small feat. I mean, if you are without, we had 100,000 residents without power following the tornado. That meant all of the refrigeration went out, so access to food plummeted, and we had to make sure that we had food access across the tornado's impact zone. We had, this was largely stood up by nonprofit and public
members. I was going to say, because the emergency response for the city, as you mentioned, was pretty small, a lot of that was done by individualized people and groups.
That's
not necessarily
right.
The city or the federal government.
You're right. I'm thinking of Action St. Louis and a whole host of nonprofits that were on the ground. We were doing our best to centralize large donations and get those out to those organizations, but they were the ones on the ground actually doing the distribution. And that was an enormous lift that really came about organically. So when I'm thinking about FEMA's response, really organizing that. You know, we are in the process right now of working through the state of Missouri for the massive lift of demolition and debris removal, that giant work product that still needs to be completed. Getting debris off of private property is an enormous lift of just legal hurdles and a whole host of other things that we are now partnering with the state on. But the Army Corps of Engineers, in my view, was the way this could have been done more quickly, more efficiently, and certainly with the expertise at the national level to get that done.
A couple more questions before we wrap this up. The other area I want to ask is just about staffing. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of concern after the tornado happened that because President Trump fired a lot of FEMA employees, the response was just not going to be as robust as if FEMA was more fully staffed. And that could be on a public assistance level where you or the school system have to reimburse money, or it could be on an individualized mm-hmm. level where they just don't get, people don't get a response as quickly.
Have you found that to be one of the big problems here?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's all about resource allocation. Again, I mean, I think, you know, in an ideal world, FEMA would have been on the ground with their staff, with their expertise, driving what the response looks like, providing that immediate shelter space, and really organizing, being the backbone of what the response needed to look like. Instead, we were doing that, but that is a resource allocation question. Like I said, the folks that were here, were present, the FEMA staff, were absolutely phenomenal. But we need to be talking about this nationally. What do we want our federal government to be able to do? And, you know, in the long-term recovery, you know, you were asking earlier about housing and what residents should be expecting. You know, how do we fill that gap? You know, the federal component of housing, the community development block grant funds, disaster relief funds that generally speaking come and help fill those gaps are something we will be looking for a congressional allocation of in this next cycle. We need those funds to be able to develop a full-scale rebuild plan that our city deserves.
When I read and heard about all the problems with the sirens, my first thought was, why doesn't St. Louis County, and frankly, Jefferson and St. Charles County have one emergency response center? And I know the details of that are really hard. Like, St. Louis City has one police department and they have one fire department, and all those other jurisdictions have a lot more. But do you think that this tornado should spark discussion, especially among people in East West Gateway? I know we talk about St. Louis and St. Louis County all the time, but a tornado could go through the city and go down to Jeffcoat hopefully in 50 years from now. What do you think regional leaders should do to make sure the emergency response is more integrated so we don't have an emergency response that was frankly lacking in the city of St. Louis?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on that mass disasters know no political boundaries, and we absolutely need to be thinking about a regional response. And there is some level of that through STARS, and East West Gateway does have some component of it. But it was clear to us that the city of St. Louis did not have as robust and integrated response component as was ideal for us to be able to respond, having those mutual aid agreements, not just across fire and police, which we did have in place and were very, very helpful in the hours, days following the tornado, but with forestry departments, with streets departments, with other departments that could have been more helpful in lending their staff expertise and equipment to debris removal and other things that we needed to conduct right away. So it's clear to us that establishing a better regional protocol response and integrated collaborative response would have been better for all. And we are committed to building that in the future. We're going to be announcing a new SEMA director here in the coming days, and I'm excited to bring that person's perspective to the table, which I know to be rooted in a regional apparatus for responding to disasters.
What are going to be some of the benchmarks when we look back a year from the tornado that determine whether the recovery was a success or a failure?
Well, first and foremost, I think the biggest marker I'm looking for right now and planning for is ensuring that we have no fatalities this winter as the result of cold temperatures. So that is our number one most immediate benchmark. But I think it's going to be hard to look at this year one, but I think years out, as I've said and been very committed to, I think our highest best mark of success is keeping our residents in place and ensuring that we have a path forward to everyone who lived in the tornado zone on May 15th to have a path back to living in the city they call home, or they called home, in the future. And one that looks like a path that has a robust future for our community.
Do you know how many people have left?
That is so hard. You know, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things FEMA...
And when I say left, I mean just completely, you know, left the city, went to the county, went to St. Charles, went to the Metro East instead of staying in St. Louis.
We don't have firm numbers on that. You know, one of the things that FEMA really could have been enormously helpful on in the beginning is just having that tracking apparatus, you know, that being able to really work directly with residents and understanding where they are. And that case management piece is something that would be enormously helpful right now. You know, we're going to be embarking upon a door-to-door campaign here soon to ensure residents know all the resources available to them as we go into these really cold months. I'm enormously proud of the work that this team is doing to ensure that we do have space for folks when the temperatures get dangerously low.
Madam Mayor, thank you so much for your time.
Of course.
That was St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer, who spoke with me from her office in City Hall earlier this week. You can read all of our coverage of the May 16th tornado by going to stlpr.org. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, and thank you so much for listening. Politically Speaking is produced by Sarah Kellogg, Rachel Lipman, and me, Jason Rosenbaum. The show is edited by Fred Ehrlich. Read all of our coverage at stlpr.org. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Politically Speaking by searching the term Politically Speaking on Apple Podcasts. From St. Louis Public Radio, this is Politically Speaking.